four partners in the hospital. Come on, Alex, you're a good cop.
By the way, who's my new partner?
We call him Yo-Yo. He weighs 427 pounds. He's a completely mobile computer, specially programmed for police work.
Is he indestructible?
We think so.
Send in Holmes.
Hello, my media masochists. Welcome to The Worst Show on Earth, a podcast where my friends and I are on a seemingly endless quest to figure out what is the absolute worst the television medium has to offer. I'm Matt Murphy, and I'm approximately 5% machine. With me here in Gravehouse is Alex Humphrey. Alex, what percent machine are you?
Hi, I would say I work IT, so I'm probably 60 or 70% machine at this point.
Oh, wow. That's quite a bit. But we also have, joining us via television screen located directly in the center of my chest, and therefore legally distinct from a Teletubby, it is Rachel Bieber.
Hello, I am 100% robot.
Oh, we're such a diverse show here.
I don't know.
Show on Earth.
We are diverse.
As I understand it, robots talk perfectly normally like people from the 60s.
I am a 1940s robot.
Oh, that explains it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Older model.
I may become more modern as the episode extends into the future.
As episodes do want to do. A special shout out also to our fourth co-host, Tachi, the human IMDb, who couldn't join us today.
I hear we're going to perhaps hear from Tachi in the future, like for this episode. Isn't he stuck in like Civil War land or something?
Yeah. When we get to our reader mail section, maybe we'll hear back from him.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
So for now, we can only speculate. Is he more machine than man?
I mean, probably like 30% person, 70% IMDb.
A bit of bookkeeping. Once we're able to get Tachi back here to Gravehouse, we'll finally watch Cavemen, as we promised we would do, since he might be in it as a background extra.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's why we gotta wait. Also, we've been doing this podcast for a solid year now. Congratulations, everyone.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Does that mean we've earned more Cleopatra 2525?
After Cavemen, we'll do Cleopatra 2525.
Okay, good. I want to see season two.
I do too. I want to do it for the anniversary.
I can't believe I missed that show.
So for this installment of The Worst Show on Earth, we went in the opposite direction of Cavemen, with a dose of retrofuturism with the 1976 show Holmes and Yo-Yo. This show aired from fall of 1976 to the summer of 77 on ABC, where, guys, this is great, it had the coveted Saturday night at 8 p.m. time slot.
Isn't that the Kill Me Please time slot?
That is the Kill Me Please time slot, yes.
Wow. Of note, that's around the time I was both conceived and born.
You're saying you might actually be a robot then?
I might actually be a robot, yeah. Because I was born in the summer of 77.
Oh, wow. Well, that's when it concluded.
Yeah.
So maybe you're the reincarnation of this show.
Maybe, sure.
Because if people can be reincarnated as porters from 1928, I mean, clearly they can be reincarnated as a show. Anyway, so Holmes is a bad detective who keeps getting his partners maimed.
Just indeterminately injured.
He's not bad. He's just terrible.
He's not terrible, though. He's just lazy.
He's kind of incompetent.
He's the schlubbiest man I have ever seen on network television.
Wow.
We were talking about this, that he could be Milquetoast Nebbish's.
Oh, no.
Like, cool uncle.
If you took all the ego out of Steven Seagal, that's about how frumpy this guy is.
Oh, wow. That's special.
So because Holmes, Alex Holmes, our protagonist, is so bad at keeping partners around, he's assigned a new one named Gregory Yojanovich, who goes by Yo-Yo. And he's also secretly a nigh-indestructible yet constantly malfunctioning android. Comedy ensues from there?
It does, though. Like, comedy actually ensued from there.
Comedy ensued before there.
That's true.
Like, I'm going to say it up front. This show kind of charmed me.
It was freaking adorable. It set things up. So the intro, like with the credits, I was really worried because I was like, oh my God, all this is a bunch of cars pulling up to buildings and two guys getting out of the car and then just rushing into the door. I'm like, what is this show going to be?
I made the same note.
Yeah.
The entire first original like pilot opening, a lot of pilots have different openings from the rest of the show. And this one, I made the note, just like, all the show is people getting out of their car and running into a door.
Five times, at least.
But it kind of punctuated with the last one being the men's room.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only joke in that intro.
But it was the pilot intro. You can forgive a pilot intro.
I liked that it didn't reveal what we were getting into, because originally the viewers would not have known.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked to see it because in my research for picking this show, I saw the intro and that's what sold me on it.
Oh.
And the intro, we do end up seeing it in episode two. And then the pilot intro is used as the end credits in episode two. I don't know if that goes on the rest of the series. But
so I have a question, Murphy. Oh. How did you come to find this show?
What an amazing segue. It's almost as if we have been doing this for a year. This is fantastic. Because, fun fact, I found this on TV Guide's list of worst shows ever. The 50 worst shows ever. This was published in like 2002 or something like that. This was number 33 on that list.
This show does not belong in the 50 worst shows ever. I can say it right up front.
I know. We've already covered that. But as of 2002, like, how many of our shows were pre-2002?
I will say this. The show is not a perfect show.
It's a slapstick comedy.
Yeah.
It lacks a lot in the way of plot development, but like, it is a slapstick comedy and it succeeds at its slapstick and its comedy bearably. Like, sometimes the jokes land, not all the jokes land, but like, it's cute. It's cute. The show is cute.
Yeah. I think it depends on how old of a man you are.
Yeah.
In your comedy stylings, because there were some great repeated jokes.
Oh no, there were. I'm praising it for its comedy. Like, oh, okay. it wasn't like side slappingly hilarious, but it was funny.
They didn't repeat the bad jokes, is what I mean. Like, they found the comedy.
Mm, that's exactly. It's something I think I was so surprised to see, because normally these shows just do not understand how to televise. Mm. Like, they don't understand how to be funny. They don't understand how to build characters. And this did. It gave time for the characters to breathe and interact with each other. So, like, the first episode is about Holmes meeting Yo-Yo and the two of them solving the mystery of a car thief.
Mm.
Which is set up in the first half of the episode before Holmes meets Yo-Yo. When he and his partner get a call in that there's a prowler, in quotes, in the neighborhood, and they go to check out a house because someone sighted a guy on the roof.
Yeah. Well, it actually sets it up before that, because there's the two officers are sitting in their car and they see a commercial mover drive by, and they're like, and Alex is like, that's weird. Why is there a commercial mover here?
Alex Holmes, that is, not Alex.
Alex
our
Holmes,
co-host.
Yes, not Alex Humphrey. And then there's like this really funny side bit with a new driver who hits their car, who rear ends the parked police car, and they get stuck. And when the call comes in for them to go find this prowler, the car is stuck, and Alex Holmes drives off anyway. It was very funny. It was very silly.
It was amusing. Yeah, they get their cars locked together, and he just drives off with the driver. And that was when I was like, oh wait, that's humor. That was some humor was had. Like, he had banter with the back and forth banter with the student driver as well.
Right, and was gonna pretty much let her go because oh well.
So yes, they attempt to bust the prowler, but to no avail. He gets off with the Gambolini car or something like that. It's a special named car that I don't think is a real brand. That sounded very silly in Italian.
I think it was supposed to be like a Bugatti.
Or a Lamborghini.
A Lamborghini.
He also shoots his partner into the sky and hospitalizes him for weeks, if not months.
Mm.
There was a part where I was kind of worried about the show during this whole episode, because
yeah,
they're plainclothes officers, right? Or they're sergeants?
Yes.
Sergeants?
Mm-hmm.
Holmes is a sergeant, yeah.
So they're plainclothes officers. They're in an unmarked car, and they're just standing in this person's driveway, and the woman drives up with her dog. Holmes identifies himself as an officer, but she doesn't ask for identification.
He shows her his a badge.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he shows it in his like hand. He doesn't like flash it in like a traditional, like what we think of as a police officer flashing their badge sort of flash, but he shows it in the palm of his hand.
Yeah, he shows it like real on the sly, like.
I didn't see that.
You see now why most modern TV shows have them like flap open their jacket or flick it in the camera and show it full face.
You know, he asks her, do you have any valuables in your home? And she just totally gives up all the information. I was like, oh my God, this could be a robber casing your house.
Yeah, the show does make a lot of allowances. Its aim is to make jokes, not always to make sense.
Yeah, well.
So they are terrible police officers. Both Holmes and Yo-Yo have no sense of protocol or procedure because they're doing stuff like putting their fucking fingerprints all over evidence. They're touching evidence.
Yeah, but the chief does the same thing. Going by police work alone, we can firmly say everyone in this show is a really bad cop.
They're not bad. They're just incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
When we say bad cop, we think an evil cop.
Let's talk about the first time Holmes and Yo-Yo meet.
Yeah. So a big muckety-muck comes in with a scientist man and Yo-Yo. And they go meet the captain, who is a terrible actor. He was the worst part of the show, I thought. His deliveries were just flat and loud. I don't understand how anyone can listen to that for an extended period of time.
That's why he's a bit part.
I was being self-aware there. I was trying to be a funny man.
No, you're not flat. You're carbonated.
Oh, thank you. Effervescent. Oh, that's so sweet. Sorry, we're getting off track.
So they introduce themselves to the captain and they're like, we have got the solution for your policing needs. We'd like to give you some more men. And the captain's like, how many? And they're like, this guy.
One.
The captain is rightfully suspicious, but also is like, who are you, good sir? And asks him questions like, you know, where he's from, and Division 23, and what squad?
The Bunko Squad.
The Bunko Squad?
The Bunko Squad?
The Bunko Squad?
The Bunko Squad.
The Bunko Squad.
The Bunko Squad.
The Bunko Squad.
How long was he on the Bunko Squad?
The Bunko Squad?
The Bunko Squad.
The Bunko Squad.
We're recreating a joke the show is creating, where he kept getting hung up on the word the Bunko Squad.
It was the first evidence of him not being a human being.
And it was a little obnoxious.
A little, yeah. It got a bit old.
Only the first time.
The first time. This is another thing to the show's credit. It carried over jokes across an episode and into later episodes. Because episode 2 carried on the Bunko Squad joke and found new ways to play with it.
Mm.
The Bunko Squad?
The Bunko Squad. They have to like plug in some new numbers so he stops saying the Bunko Squad.
The Bunko Squad?
And the captain's like, he's a robot? Whoa!
And they demonstrate some of his powers, which are interesting.
Yeah, he can boop his nose and print a picture of what he saw.
It's a Polaroid, not just any picture.
Yeah, he boops his nose and a Polaroid comes out of his shirt pocket of things he saw.
It's a lovely piece of visual humor.
Yeah, it's fun. He has a lot of weird, like, funny gags where he does things like that. My favorite was the electro nipple.
Oh, yeah, he has a power outlet in his nipple.
The electro nipple was a fascinating piece. It was just so bizarre to see. You see this sort of imagery in something horrific and strange, like Tetsuo the Iron Man, which is about a man who's slowly like morphing into a piece of machinery. But no, with this, it's very benign. He just like can plug into electric typewriters. He plugs them to his nipple.
And it acts as a data port as well.
Right. And he types up his reports that way. And he helps shave. He helps to shave Alex Holmes in the morning.
Oh, yeah. That was another joke that recurred across episodes. Yeah.
And then, of course, like a good cop, he uses it to rob a vending machine of literally all its content.
But these are things that happen at the end of the episode, because again, to the episode's credit, he gets assigned to Holmes mostly because the captain kind of hates Holmes and wants to stick in with a difficult partner. And so he sticks in with what appears to be a malfunctioning robot.
An indestructible malfunctioning robot.
That's true. Then. He does ask if he is indestructible.
And they don't want to tell Holmes that he's a robot because they're doing experiments. They're trying to figure it out.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would ruin the control group, and they would have to scrap the whole project.
Because people would be afraid of automation.
I loved that line. It's so relevant for now.
It is oddly relevant.
How it's like they don't want to scare anyone for being replaced by automated, which then, at the end of the episode, did you guys notice, is reflected back when Holmes says to Yo-Yo, like, you're a machine, but you could be replaced by a person. Which I thought was very interesting.
I am not used to watching shows that have recurring themes throughout an episode and take their time to call back jokes.
Like the repeat new driver gag?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the new driver shows back. Up again.
I don't know if there was any... most of the good jokes repeated at least once in the episode.
Mm.
Like Yo-Yo being manipulated by remote controls.
Yep, that was another one. That was funny. Because they go to question the owner of the car that was stolen. And he's like flipping through channels on his TV. And every time he presses the button, Yo-Yo turns around. And Holmes, who doesn't know Yo-Yo's a robot, is like, what the hell are you doing? And turns him back around.
You do have to also know historically that remote controls only had like two buttons on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were toggle switches. So,
absolutely. You know. This is another fascinating prop talk here. Another show that we watched also had a fascinating remote control scene in My Mother, the Car, which, by the way, number two on the worst shows ever made by TV, according to TV Guide.
That was really bad.
They didn't understand how to use that gag in that show.
No.
It's a fascinating juxtaposition where they kept having him sit on it and be like angry at everyone around him. And they exhausted the gag, whereas somehow Holmes and Yo-Yo used the gag more, but it stayed funny.
They also changed it up.
Right.
Because they played with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So with the door, the garage door opener, that caused him to inexplicably put physics aside and just sort of spin in a circle like a flip, except just spinning in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was a very good special effect for that time.
It was.
Though it was a little on the Looney Tunes side.
That's the tone of the show.
Yeah.
It's very Looney Tunes, very Keystone Cops sort of thing. My favorite part of the remote control scenes, though, was when the insolent car owner, like, turns up the volume to try and hear the game more. And then Yo-Yo starts shouting. Like, they change it up. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
So they break the case because they realize, just basically out of nowhere, that the moving van loaded the car because they discover a magnet in the garage and have a little bit of magnet humor. It was okay.
Yo-Yo gets attracted to it because he's made of metal.
And then Holmes puts it in his butt pocket and Yo-Yo grabs his butt.
I thought that was great.
That was funny in the 70s.
Yeah. No, it was funny. It was funny in the nowadays.
The nowadays.
They go and question the guy who they think stole the car, and he opens up his truck, and there's just boxes.
And they're like, ah, darn.
And they're like, darn, let's just leave. And then they leave, and then Yo-Yo realizes he must have taken the car apart and put it in the boxes.
Because earlier they found the manual for the car at the home of the person whose car was stolen.
And then, to save time on problem solving, they also intuit from this that the owner of the car must therefore be involved because only someone with the manual could take the car apart.
Because that's not available.
Which is absurd.
Yeah, because you can't just buy a car manual.
There were a lot of leaps in this episode.
This is where the show failed. Being a mystery is where the show failed. It's in the same category as Scooby-Doo of mystery.
Yeah.
Where you meet a character...
You shut your mouth.
And you're like, well, that's clearly the villain.
It was the second guy they met in the show.
But
of course.
Scooby-Doo.
That's Scooby-Doo rules.
That's Scooby-Doo rules.
Scooby-Doo.
Wait. Oh, God. She likes Scooby-Doo, Alex.
I love it.
Oh man.
No.
Oh,
I love Scooby-Doo.
I never liked
Have
Scooby-Doo.
Have you watched Mystery Incorporated?
I have not. I've heard it's very good.
It's on Netflix, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Well, we're clearly talking about classic Scooby-Doo here. Scooby-Doo
classic
with
Scooby-Doo
minimal effort spent on writing.
Or animation.
So they go to the Gambolini owner who's putting his car back together. And they're like, you're under arrest, you weirdo. And then he pulls a gun and he steals their car for some reason.
It drives away. So they steal his car. They
steal the incomplete Gambolini car. And a car chase ensues where Yo-Yo has too much of a lead foot. Yuck, yuck, yuck. He keeps eclipsing their
Was that the joke?
Shitty
that he had
car,
a lead foot?
That he had a lead foot. Well, oh. They should have said it because it would have been a good joke. But things happen.
They catch him.
Cars fall over. Yo-Yo gets like hit or falls out of the car or something bad. And
we're not saying it because we don't remember. We're saying it because we don't see what happens to him. He's just on the ground after some crash happens.
It was very unclear. Do you remember, Rachel?
The steering wheel had fallen off of the Gambolini, but for some reason, Yo-Yo could still drive it backwards. So he drives it backwards, spins the car around, and it ends up facing the correct way and sort of trapping the stolen car. And then he falls out of the car.
And then he's magically out of the car on the ground.
Yeah.
Like we said, we don't see it happen.
Clearly,
it just has happened.
He's clearly injured.
Yes.
And so...
He's leaking oil.
This is where giant leaps are made.
Yes. Holmes reaches down, grabs him, cradles him in his arms, which he shouldn't be able to do because they explicitly state, I'm pushing up my nerd glasses now, they explicitly state that he's 427 pounds. How would a man be able to lift that, especially some scrawny Ferengi like Alex Holmes?
He loosens his tie and the chest panel on home on Yo-Yo open.
And it's the flattest delivery. He just goes, Alex, no.
And Holmes mirrors him and he's like, you're a robot.
You're not a person.
You're not a person. There it is.
It was the biggest leap. It was like, you have something weird with your shirt. You must be a robot.
Yeah, he's surprisingly learned about science fiction concepts for Schlub Cop in Los Angeles.
That was one of the things that was weird to me, because Holmes isn't, strictly speaking, a bad detective.
No, he gets
the job
done.
He's not even an awful detective. At least half of the significant detective leaps of logic, he makes. He has a lot of the revelations in episode one and in episode two that lead to the resolution of cases.
Yeah.
Which feels like it should be Yo-Yo having these good ideas, and then the Schlub Cop has all the people skills.
Like a Green Hornet kind of scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
But he does. Yo-Yo will say, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And then Holmes will say, yeah, we are, but why don't you go first?
They lean into it more in episode two, so they might have gotten better about it. Because the first episode, it's really a 50-50 split, and I made a note about it where I'm like, Holmes seems... really Holmesy, I guess. Like, he's just has these leaps of logic and he knows answers.
And
to
clearly
things.
That's the reference with his name.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It should go without saying. So I said it anyway because I'm a loudmouth. But that's really the end of episode one. Oh, they're friends now. Alex Holmes thinks that Yo-Yo is a good cop. So he doesn't tell. He's like, I'm not going to tell anyone that you're a robot. And he's like, thanks. That prevents me from death.
That prevents me from being recycled.
Episode two, I'm just going to like fly through the plot of episode
it's
two.
It's such a flimsy plot.
So we can go back and touch on the humor, which is really where the show shines. In episode two, there's a counterfeiter and all the police officers for some reason have counterfeit $20 bills.
Mm.
And they discover it's this counterfeiter who they'd arrested before and works at a plastic mill.
A plastic manufacturer.
Yeah, a plastic mill. And he's like they have like plaques with actual $20 bills in them, and paperweights with real $20 bills, and he's been swapping out the real $20 bill with a counterfeit $20 bill, which is kind of brilliant. Like, that's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Also less illegal.
His partner in crime didn't know it and stole a bunch of counterfeit bills. Plot over. Let's talk about gags, because this is when I really came like. I had heart for the rest of the show at this point. When they found the good gags from episode one and started to play with them in episode two.
Like the Bunko Squad?
The Bunko Squad. And this episode, like, people know he has this Bunko Squad problem. So every time it comes up where he has to say the Bunko Squad, someone else will attempt to cover for him. Like, there's a great scene later where, who is it? Is it the chief of police comes in?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the chief of police. Yeah.
Is it?
First and it's the chief, and then later it's the federal inspector.
And he meets Yo-Yo. And he's like, oh, where are you from? And Yo-Yo's like, oh, I'm from...
the 23rd Precinct.
And he's like, what squad? And everyone else in the room answers the Bunko squad for him. But it was funny because they play the same gag again, but found a new way to play with it where everyone around him says the Bunko squad.
Yeah, because they all understand him as a person and a character and what he's going to do, his rules. That said, his rules are a big focus of this episode, which, by the way, I don't know if we mentioned, is called Funny Money. Haha, so good of a name. So in Funny Money, Yo-Yo is struggling with human idiom, with English idioms. Like, let's split. And then he makes a split on the ground. Only he's a schlub, the actor. So he basically does half a jumping jack.
Okay, here is where I was upset. I didn't say at the time, but when I was watching, I was really hoping they were setting up for him to have like a showdown with some idiom-slinging gangster.
Oh, that's too good for this.
Like an Al Capone style who speaks only in gangster idiom.
I'm
like
going to
put your hands
you
where
out.
I can see him. Put like hands right on his face. And that sort of thing. And I'm like, if they delivered on that, that would have been great. But the joke really didn't go anywhere.
Maybe they will in the future.
That's true. That's true. They do seem to understand that jokes can carry over between episodes.
I'm very disappointed in you two. You have hope.
I giggled during these episodes.
No, I did too.
This was utterly charming.
I was also charmed by this.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I was consistently charmed from the first minute of the show to the last. That it isn't to say that there weren't times where I was like, oh, get on with it.
Oh yeah, it's not a good show.
A bad show? It's no Jared Pfeiffer.
Desmond Pfeiffer. He's a historical figure.
It's no Desmond Pfeiffer.
No.
It's true.
So we're all in agreement that this is not the absolute worst.
No, this isn't even nearing the absolute worst.
No. But if it was the 33rd worst show according to TV Guide, I feel like maybe we should continue to watch it and see like why they thought it was so terrible.
I could go later in the show, like pick up way later and see if they just completely lost their spirit. Because that could be it.
I want to watch the whole series.
There's only 13 episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so that seems like doable.
Yeah. And here are some future episode titles and some like synopses. Yo-Yo takes a bride. Yo-Yo goes undercover with a lady cop as a honeymoon couple, but she actually wants to bone him and Yo-Yo can't process that. And it's the blonde cop lady that we mean. Monica Moon is the character's name or something like that.
She's like a decent actress.
Yeah.
She's good.
The show even has economy of characters. That is, for those who don't know what that term is, when a show attempts to minimize the number of relevant speaking roles to, you know, make it easy to follow the characters and, you know, save money.
Yeah. Other episodes include The Canine Caper, where they have to stop a dog from stealing purses. An episode co-written by famous 80s director John Landis.
Whoa.
And another favorite of mine called Dead Duck, where Holmes and Yo-Yo are set to testify against a mob boss, but Yo-Yo can't because he's a robot and Holmes is afraid of the mob.
See, I don't... This show doesn't belong on our show.
I don't know. It's on TV Guide's worst shows.
Don't worry. It's going to get worse, Alex. Don't worry. It's going to get so much worse. We're going to be having so much cerebral pain when, like, Yo-Yo needs to get his third oil change of the day or something like that.
I just need to get my misery fix on, man.
You can get it other ways, babe.
I don't know. The rest of the world is just so wonderful and happy right now.
Ah.
You're right. I gilded the lily. I'm sorry. I'm a lily gilder. Here's the question I'm going to pose, though.
Okay.
Was it worse than My Mother, the Car, number two on that TV Guide list?
No, it was not worse.
No.
It was...
Yeah, no.
It was definitely 30 spots away from My Mother, the Car.
Let me pose a different question. Uh-huh. Is this the best show we've watched?
Ooh, I don't know.
It's no Cleopatra.
It's no The Island.
It is no The Island.
Oh, shit. Here's the thing, though. This show is better than The Island in respect to understanding how to do comedy.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
It's worse than The Island in that it isn't as weirdly engrossing.
It's surprisingly more grounded than The Island.
This is a show where growing up, if this had come on TV, I would have sat there and watched it.
I would have watched it too.
It's got an Inspector Gadget quality to it.
Have either of you seen any Small Wonder?
Yes.
No, I don't even know what that is.
It's totally Alex. Before Alex's time.
Oh my gosh, Alex. Small Wonder was a show made just maybe 8 to 10 years after this show. And it's about an engineer who brings a robot child into his home.
Interesting.
And tries to raise it as a person.
Interesting. Is it one of the 50 worst shows on Earth?
It was not well regarded, no.
No, it wasn't well regarded, but I watched it.
Yeah, I watched it too.
So is this the first show that has a quote-unquote secret robot character where some characters know that there's a robot and some don't?
I did love how complex that arrangement is. That it's a secret, but he knows the secret, but he has to keep that he knows the secret a secret. That's good comedy formula. There are several other shows that have the premise of robot cop.
Oh, I mean,
it's very common.
Telling me the idea of a robo cop has been done before?
You know, in both live action and animation, I'll tell you. Like, again, Inspector Gadget's the same thing. And so is Almost Human was the most recent one, which is literally set in the future.
So this show is really a trailblazer.
Yeah, it kind of was.
That's what I'm asking. Like, what robot cop show came before this?
Oh, interesting question. You might be right. This might actually have been a trailblazer.
We might have to crowdsource this, guys. If anyone knows about shows about robot cops, if you're an expert in this field, we need you.
We need our human IMDb.
We need a human IMDb.
Where is our Michael Tachi bot?
But if you do know anything about it, give us an email at worstshowonearth@gmail.com. If you have any other shows you'd like to suggest to us, a comment about something we've watched, or want to explain what percent robot you are to us, we'd love to hear from you. And again, you can do that by emailing us at worstshowonearth@gmail.com. And speaking of emails.
Yes.
Just as we promised, I have one.
Oh my God, it's finally here.
I have one from Tachi, the human IMDb. He's still out there in isolation, watching whatever he can get his gams on.
So brave.
So brave. And he writes, "Dear Worst Show on Earth, the quarantine has made me lose touch with time. The days muddle, internal clocks shatter, and the longer this goes on, the more the seasons will blur. But those who live in LA experience something like this already. When it comes to seasons, I've only counted three. Hot time season, nippy time season, and pilot season. TV pilots are a funny thing. Anywhere from dozens to hundreds can be produced in a year, most of which will never see the light of day. They are presented to TV executives who swiftly determine their fate. As a result, a weak pilot can end a show that may have had potential. A strong pilot can provide a sturdy base for a show that, ultimately, does not have much in the way of gams. I think Holmes and Yo-Yo fall somewhere around here. Despite being regarded as one of the worst shows ever, the pilot episode has some impressive energy with gags a minute, some banter-related, some physical. And to my surprise, much of it held up okay, because in the pilot, the show seemed to understand timing. It was directed by Perry White himself, Mr. Jackie Cooper. No subsequent episodes were directed by him, which may or may not have contributed to the decline. See, that's what we pay him for, the human IMDb. Mm. Those sorts of deep connections and niche things that we don't have time to bother with researching ourselves.
Wait, we pay him?
Of course not.
Oh, thank God.
Anyway. Episode 2, Funny Money, is watchable, with a nice use of the walking into glass you didn't know was there routine. But things already feel like they're wearing thin. Yo-Yo's circuitry being affected by nearby technology, for example, is starting to run its course. He's disagreeing with us there.
Yeah.
But here's the good shit. But episode 3, The Dental Dynamiter is when I began to see why the show had a short life. In this episode, our heroes search for a mad bomber who seems to have a vendetta against dentists who went to Ohio State University. Sure, why not? It's a silly show. But the comedic timing is just off. Instead of laughing at the physical bits, I find myself sighing and wishing the show would actually get to the next piece of police work. An absorbent police procedural, it is not. This episode has multiple scenes with bombs, most of which explode. And each time everyone, yes, everyone, is just so calm. Since we have banter and physical comedy to do, there is no urgency. A sitcom may not require tension, but it does require energy. And characters spend this episode walking, taking stairs, taking elevators, casually saying that the bomb squad has 20 minutes to arrive or 200 people may die. Yo-Yo is tasked with defusing the bomb because he is expendable. Holmes does not like that, so he goes to help. And why is this all happening so slowly? Episode 1 had a car chase. Episode 2 had a wacky warehouse foot chase. Episode 3 has a mad bomber blowing shit up. And it is treated with all the energy of writing a wistful Civil War letter. Holmes and Yo-Yo has charm. And it may not be as bad as My Mother the Car, but when it got dull, it got awkwardly dull. In contrast, I think My Mother the Car had a dullness that held me in suspense, if that makes any sense. But the greatest moment of Holmes and Yo-Yo was when I spotted Jay Leno in the pilot.
What?
I didn't see Jay Leno in the pilot, but he's the human IMDb. I mean,
all right, we have to have a rewatch party.
He has about 1.5 seconds of screen time. We see the side of his face, and he has curly hair, a hat, and glasses. This teaches us that some people's profiles are just too powerful to go unnoticed. While not the worst show on Earth, the best approach to Holmes and Yo-Yo may be to watch the pilot, then write your own fanfic. Still functioning. Tachi, the human IMDb.
So Tachi sounds like he is confirming some of our fears about the show, that maybe it has a drop-off.
We can only hope, or else we're going to run out of material for this podcast real fast. He recommended what you ended up doing, which was making your own plot that was more interesting than some of the other plots.
I see your point. So as far as Tachi is concerned, Holmes and Yo-Yo's best form is a canceled pilot.
Yeah, he does seem to imply that. I think that is the subtext of that letter. You know, back in the Civil War days, they had to send things in code and all.
You think it's a coded message?
Yeah. Probably coded to say, I'm really bored. Please give me things to do. Rachel, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I really enjoyed watching the show and seeing the valley the way it looked when I was a kid.
Aww. That's our Angelino for us.
She's pimping Los Angeles.
Yeah. That donut shop is totally a Winchell's.
Oh. Oh my God, yes. And it was next to Twin Castle Burger, the home of hamburger teriyaki milkshakes. When they said it was on Vineland, it was on Vineland.
Oh boy, we're getting way Angelino here.
Very niche.
It was on Vineland, yes.
If you want something you don't have to be in Los Angeles to see, you can find us most Sundays on the Scabby Rooster LARP Tavern on Twitch for our show, The Demi Dozen, a game of Scion 2nd Edition. It's a tabletop RPG. We play Children of the Gods in like a modern day setting, having wacky kind of cartoonish adventures. And you should check us out if you like that.
That's twitch.tv/scabbyrooster. That's on Sundays at 4 p.m. Pacific time. With that, it's time to close this case and spin down our hard drives for another week. If you enjoy our media masochism, please do subscribe to the show and leave us a rating on your preferred podcast platform. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another edition of The Worst Show on Earth, where guess what? I think we're watching more Holmes and Yo-Yo Squad.
Yes!
Yeah!
Bunko Squad.
The Bunko Squad Bunko comes squad. Together. So until next time, enjoy what you watch, no matter how crappy it is.
This is top secret. No one, including Holmes, must know his identity.
Alex, no, don't!
You're not a person.
You're not going to tell them?
In my book, you got to make yourself a good cop. That's what I put in my report.